Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dolph, of course, he's wearing the white shirt, which he always does, so I can see him. And he's very much in my line of sight. And then Zoo, who was also directly in front of me with my left eye and maybe 3 or 4 feet away from Dolph, if that. Every time I look at you, I think you're out of the room. So I just naturally say, oh, good job with the music, Dolph. But it's actually you. In the Rush.
Oh yeah, nice. You know we got to get a little Rush in here. We got the vibes going good. A little Tom Sawyer never hurt nobody.
Yeah, no doubt. Better than some of those 1950s jams you got to play for Benningo on the weekend, huh?
Hey now. Between Richard and Joe B, we definitely service an audience of the fans here.
Listen, we have eclectic musical taste, no doubt. And one thing we can all agree on is that Jalen Brunson. Now that is a sweet sound, no doubt. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata show. We'll get back to these Nick calls, a little on the Soto stuff, something on jazz coming up in a bit. It worked out well, and I've noticed this with myself more and more. I don't know why more and more, but now last night would have been, you know, all right, Yanks, let me check my phone, see what you're doing. And the Mets obviously played earlier. But when there's no baseball, like it worked out last night because of the Knicks, but I can't stand when one of the two, obviously more for the Yankees because I'm a Yankee fan, but when both teams don't play, it just feels incomplete to me when there's not both teams playing baseball. Dave's in Maplewood. What's up, Dave?
Hey, happy Friday.
You too, buddy. What's going on?
I just got to tell you, the Knicks really need to be working on their bench because McBride coming in for Brunson is a joke. McBride stinks. And if they don't teach Robinson how to hit a foul shot, the Celtics will be fouling him at the end of the game all the time to take him to the line.
All right, now, Dave, hold on.
Whether
Dave,
has the ball
Dave,
or not.
Listen, you voice a couple of... I don't think that McBride stinks, but I hear you. He's not had a good season. And I hear you on Mitchell Robinson. But the way you... Like, they need to teach him how to hit a free throw. Do you think he's not working on this? He's just, for whatever reason, incapable. He's never going to be good. Not happening over the weekend. Not happening this month. Not happening next year. Not going to happen the rest of his career. He cannot shoot, and he will never shoot free throws well.
Well, it's going to be tough having him at the end of the game in there.
I agree with that. And they're a little restricted there. Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to turn McBride into a pure point guard over the weekend. That's part of the problem. You know, and three hours of having fun and enjoying, which I did. Now we can get a little bit more real with maybe some of the prospects for this series here. Although I'm going to hold out some hope that they can overachieve, but... Like, the Knicks are just poorly put together. You know, their pieces, from a talent perspective, are very appealing. But they don't have a pure backup point guard on the roster. Tyler Kolek, who, you know, I've seen him at Marquette for years. I love him. He's not ready. Or at least they don't deem him ready. He's a pure point. Anybody else they put out there, not a pure point. So, they're limited there. Which is why the offense looks a little stagnant. When Jalen Brunson goes to the bench. And, you know, that's part of the reason why they are very susceptible to long droughts where they get out. Because their defense isn't particularly good in certain spots when Cat's out there without Mitch. And when Jalen goes to the bench, You know, I mean, it's just, it's, I don't know what they could do schematically in the next couple of days to really prepare and throw a curveball at the Celtics. I don't really think that there's anything. I think this is one of those simple situations where your best players have to show up and your best players got a ball. And, you know, if they do, maybe you have more of a chance than I think. Zach is in Ridgewood. Zach, what's going on? That's New Jersey. What up, Zach?
What's up, BT? Happy Friday. Hope all is well. I got two quick points for you. I'll make it quick. What do you think about this upcoming series with the Celtics and the Knicks? Knicks opening up at plus 550, a little worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
And this team, ironically, they seem like a DiVincenzo or a Hartenstein away from being legit, as funny as that is. But
yeah,
I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say. But.
You got it, Zach. These are all things I've been saying for a long time. Listen, God, it's hard because I really like Josh Hart. I don't think Josh Hart's a starter, or at least not a big, big minutes guy on an NBA champion. I just don't. I don't see it. So what do I think is going to happen? I think the Knicks are going to lose. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I don't think the Knicks are going to win. Let me see. All right, so some series odds here. All right, well, if this is first the game one. And I've got both. Okay, good. I got both. So game one odds. This is FanDuel. Knicks are plus 8.5. Okay. On the money line, the Knicks are plus 290 in game one. For the series, yep, last call was right, plus 550. And for those of you who don't know what that means, you bet 100, you win 550. You bet 200, you win 1100, so on and so forth. So, I mean, they're telling you right now, we're not giving you a chance. I mean, 550 is astronomical. That's massive. Now, all right, you want to mess around, then if I'm going to give you a little betting tip now, just in terms of value, and I haven't even seen it, but I just know the way this works. I don't think the Knicks will win the series, all right? But if you're looking for value, you want to mess around, then put a 50 spot or whatever denomination you got, 100, but even more if you're, you know, it's all relative. I get that. On the Knicks to win the series in a specific amount of games. All right, could have a little fun with that. Throw $100 on the Knicks in six. So, like, if the Knicks are plus 550 to win the series, I would have to think that they're plus six change or higher to win it in six, because any thought that the Knicks could win. Well, I mean, then again, you'd have to win game seven on the road versus game six at the Garden. I don't know, maybe. But if you want to really get nuts, $50, Knicks in five. Somebody turns an ankle. Knicks play out of their minds. But it's going to take a Herculean effort for the Knicks to win the series. I don't think they're going to win. I just don't. Lou's in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, BG, how you doing? Long time. Good show.
Yeah, and I don't like the way this has turned all of a sudden. Like, now it's like, all right, now I have to speak matter-of-factly, give you my true opinions. Like, I don't like the way that last couple, but I stand by it. I stand by it. What's up, Louie? Missed you, buddy. How you doing?
Listen, I hope you don't hate me because I'm going to bring up Patrick Ewing, okay?
Sure.
I think that he was so overrated, it's not even funny. And let me give you a couple of points, okay?
Okay.
I really remember Oakley and Mason. Every time that Patrick played as Shaquille O'Neal, a good center, he stayed away from them. And Mason and Oakley had to do the dirty work, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, he got Don Nelson and Pat Riley, not fired, but, you know what, dismissed, well, whatever, because he didn't want to play the position. He didn't want to listen. He was a selfish player. Remember when we got Ross Strickland?
Of course.
Thought was going to be one of the greatest at point guard, and he wouldn't give him the rock, like you call him. As a matter of fact, okay, come on, call him selfish. Okay?
Well, but Lou, hold on. I think I don't want to just keep going back to the day.
Yeah,
here, but hold on, but I think you're conflating a few things. So it's not that Patrick wouldn't give him the basketball. You know, you still had Mark Jackson on the team when you drafted Rod Strickland, and then they shipped out Rod. Do you know who they traded Rod Strickland for? Do you remember that?
Actually, I don't remember, but I know Strickland was an outstanding guard.
I'm going to tell you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that guy should have been our point guard.
But he wasn't. Yep, but he wasn't. They traded him for
Patrick,
a 40-year-old.
Exactly. Well, Patrick was the type of guy like I said, you know, only the guy from I forgot who, a small center from, man, that he used to guard. That's it. Everybody else, they had to do the dirty work for him, like I said.
Yeah.
He was not a good teammate.
No, listen, hey, Lou. Now, listen, I'm going to let you get your opinions out. Thanks for the call there, buddy. And just to complete the thought, because Lou was going hard there, the Rod Strickland trade was for, I believe he was 40, maybe 39, maybe even 41, Mo Cheeks. Remember that? Anyway, to say Patrick wasn't a good teammate, Zoo, this is good. Thanks, buddy. I think that's patently unfair, and I think it's offensive to Patrick. Now, I don't think that Patrick was perfect, you know, didn't really want to see him at the free throw line late, didn't have the best hands. If you watched him, you know. Middle career forward, wasn't quite the defensive player we thought he would be when he got drafted out of Georgetown, became more offensive, less defensive oriented. I do think, like, when Don Nelson came and Nelson had a vision, that would have been, 96? I think 96? I think it was 96. Could have been 90, 95, 96. And he had this pretty interesting vision where he wanted to run the offense through Anthony Mason, and Pat wasn't having it. I'm not saying Pat never flexed or Pat wasn't, you know, tough with the media. Like, I got some buddies who are, you know, aren't quite as active with the New York Post or the news, like, that I've done radio with back in the day, and they used to tell me Pat was a tough customer, man. He was very hard to get to know. He was not friendly with the media. He was, you know, surly. But, I mean, one thing Pat always played his ass off. Patrick Ewing always played hard. Flaws and all, bum knees and all, getting schooled by Hakeem in 94 and all. I mean, Pat always balled for us. Come on. To say that he wasn't, and Lou, I think you take that a little bit too far. How about Zeke and Flatbush? What up, Zeke?
Mr. BT, I apologize. First of all, again, I'm very impressed with the vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
It is impressive, and you have to continue to utilize it on the air.
Yes.
And let the other hosts know how much smarter you are.
That's not my intention, but I will continue to be me. And, thank you, Zeke.
And it's not hard to do. Anyway, on a serious note. Yesterday, I told you the team has no heart. I eat my words. With the exception of Kat, the entire team played with more heart yesterday than they did the entire season. I did not see yesterday coming. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, you know, Zeke, I didn't really know what to... Now, I thought in game five, I thought the Knicks was like, all right, enough of this nonsense, man. We're going to mop you. We're going to be up 37-17 after the first quarter, 59. Yeah, 59-38 at half, and we're going to win whatever the hell. I said like 197-98, something like that. Like, I really thought they were going to smoke them in game five. Last night, I really didn't know what to expect, but I will say this. Seeing the start that they had, I was actually pleasantly surprised, but I didn't necessarily expect that. I did not expect that.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I didn't see any of it coming. Well, yeah. Other than the Brunson three at the end, which is predictable because he is Captain Clutch.
He is just unbelievable, dude. Thanks for the call there, Zeke. All right, so Zoo just handed me this here. So, I mean, this is just flushing money down the chute here. For the Knicks to sweep, here's the series odds. Knicks to sweep plus 4,000. I mean, you throw down $100, Knicks sweep and winning four, you win 4,000. You throw down 300, you win 12,000. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So that's not even remotely plausible.
Hey, you throw $10, maybe, you know what? Get 400 back. I don't, you know, take the lower amount on that
one. Yeah, I got you. It's all relative.
If it happens, you're gonna kick yourself in the butt.
Well, I mean, do you really think? First of all, do you think they're gonna win the series? Yes or no? You got to answer me honestly. I know you're rooting for them. It's not gonna take away from your Knicks fandom, but do you think they're gonna win?
No.
Okay. Then why would you put down real money for a sweep?
Not on the Knicks end.
Well, that's where I'm going. So for the Knicks to get swept, now this I wouldn't bet on because I don't want to see this happen. It's for the Knicks to lose in four, it's plus 360. Knicks ain't getting swept. That's not going to happen. Now, all right, let's see if we can maybe finagle something here that's appealing. For the Knicks to win in five, that seems highly improbable. It's plus 3,500. But now you got to look at this in terms of value, all right? Not so much what we actually think is going to happen. Knicks to win in six goes from 3,500 at five down to 1,300. And then for the Knicks to win in seven drops down slightly below 1,100. So we all know, listen, every Knicks fan wants them to win. And if you're looking for a little juice, a little extra fun, the best value by far, Knicks in five. put down 100 spot, Knicks win, you get 3,500 coming your way. Let's go. Stuff that account. Stuff that man account, Zoo.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. And you know? You know what kind of is shocking to me, though, is the fact
that... Good job finding this, by the way. Really good.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I just went through the FanDuel really quick. Yeah. Great site, by the way. You know, great sponsor. But I just looked at those numbers, and when I saw the Game 7 number, it kind of shocked me a little bit because I feel like Game 6, being at home, should be valued at a little bit of a lower price than you would have Game 7. I was expecting that to be plus 2,000.
They don't win at home.
Well, that's the
crazy thing. Think that these sharps are factoring that in?
All they do is win on the road right now. And I mean, Boston is an interesting story. I like that team. And if I'm being completely honest, being an unbiased NBA fan or just a fan of sports in general, I hate saying this, but it kind of feels like we're on the verge of a Celtics dynasty right now.
Really?
Tatum's 27, Brown's 30. I mean, these guys are fairly young still.
A dynasty?
If they win another one this year, we're on our way.
Okay,
and the East is one of those things right now where we're the next best team, but we all kind of
The Cavaliers are.
They did their thing this year. Dude. I still, they gotta take our souls away from us the way we did.
All right. I could get behind that a little bit. I know what you mean, but I think I hear you.
No,
that's code
for
I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. I mean, dynasty's a bit strong because you got the Thunder coming. So even if they get to the finals, like, would they beat the Thunder? Whatever remains to be seen. They could, but they'd have to do it to be a true dynasty. And to be a dynasty, you got to win at least two in a row and then maybe get to another finals or certainly three or four. I don't think I see that because I think the Cavaliers are a massive problem. I think the Knicks will retool this summer, which will make them better. I know that, the Magic. Now, this seems a little nuts now. But Pinchero, like, they're coming, dude. And the Pistons, you get one running mate for Durant and Cunningham. They are a massive problem for a long time. I just think that it's evolving in a way. Like, the Bucks are done. They're going to strip that. Where's Giannis go? I mean, wherever he goes very well might determine if he goes to the Knicks, maybe the Knicks become a dynasty.
That's the dream right there, bro. And to your point, just because we are throwing out these teams and teams that we think are going to be on the come up, you kind of were hesitant about Orlando. Orlando is a team that, I got to be honest with you, they are going to be filthy.
No, I know. I like them.
Banchero is a true MVP candidate. Franz Wagner is a potential MVP candidate. I mean, they got so many other young guys that they can either choose to stick with or trade. That team, to me, if they're not, they were a disappointment this year, if I'm going to be completely honest. What they did, I get they got Boston, but they were a disappointment. If they are able to stay healthy next year and add a little bit, that team is a top four seed easy next year.
I don't disagree. Now, I'd have to look at their finances. I know it's not out of whack because the kids are still young, but like if you're a player, I mean, maybe they find Orlando boring, but the tax benefits and the weather and... That thing could shift fast. I don't disagree. Good stuff, Zoo. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata show here on WFAN. We got you till 2. Then it's Evan Atiki and crew coming up. That'll be a happy crew, except maybe for Evan, Mr. Net. We'll get back to these calls next on The Fan.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Big, you know, conquer the Celtics. It is going to be tough. And especially if Karl Anthony Towns doesn't change the way he's looking right now. Think about the contrast in the show today. If they would have lost that game last night. The social experiment would have been amazing. I think most of you would have said, that's it. We're going to lose game 7 at the Garden. Over. It's a wrap. I think it would have been mostly about fire Tom Thibodeau. I mean, 10 points for Karl Anthony Towns. Ship him out. He ain't built for it, even though he's from here. It would have been insane. And the only thing that I say, and I don't want to delve too deeply into it today, because I want to make sure that we enjoy this day. We don't get this every year. We don't get with all these teams. We just don't get this all the time. Guy just stuck a 25-footer basically at the buzzer to keep playing basketball for at least another 10 days against the hated Celtics. And, you know, I'm not raining on the parade. All right? But understand, if that doesn't go in, or if Bridges doesn't have that tip in, or even Karl Anthony Towns with the steal and the one free throw, like they made a couple of clutch plays late, if they lose that game, and just think about how they were getting smoked by that ridiculous 24-2 run, you can't forget that just because Brunson bailed them out. There's still a lot to clean up. There's still a lot to fix. I think some of it you could. And unfortunately, I think some of it you can't. Jimmy's in Warren County. Jimmy on the fan. What's up, Jim?
BT, what's going on, brother?
Hello, Jim. What's happening? What's going on?
I'm better today. I want to thank you for keeping it positive and giving us our day today.
No doubt, man.
I want
to
thank you for that.
Love Knicks fans. Hey, no doubt.
Yeah. Remember yesterday I was talking about protecting the house?
Yes, I do.
Well, after the game last night, it hit me.
Okay.
I'm like, protect the house. You know what? Maybe everybody else needs to protect their house because that was a hostile environment. Those were big games, and Jalen Brunson kicked in the door and ate all the food. Maybe we got some road warriors here. I'm feeling good, BT. I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling really good, but you know what? There's no but. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great today, actually, Jimmy. I'm with you.
Maybe going forward, we got a little thing. You never know. Maybe got a little road warrior thing. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. And again, without any, you know, the matchups, I'll do that stuff a little like Monday for sure. If the Knicks can't start winning at the Garden, Jim, then it's a wrap immediately. Like, you got to start winning at Madison Square Garden with more frequency. And by the way, this is not just a playoff thing. This has been a season-long thing. The Pistons beat them twice. And I've referenced this a bunch. The Pistons waltzed into Madison Square Garden during the regular season, one of which was very early in the season, And I remember because it was a Sunday, and like I hate when the Knicks play at 6 o'clock on Sunday, even though the Jets and the Giants stink. I still want to be able to watch everything, and I just feel like it's a rush job, and then all you do is watching sports all day, which is great, but, you know, when the football's that bad, it becomes like a job, and it becomes exhausting. So I don't like when the NBA, or I don't care about the NBA, when the Knicks play Sunday at 6 during the NFL season, but I remember watching that game, like, oh, Pistons, we'll smoke them, nice. And they lost. I'm like, ugh, that's a weird, and that stuck with me, and I'm just pulling up the schedule. It was very early in the season. And they did it twice to the Knicks this year. Let me see. All right, so that was in Detroit. I remember that. They won that one, and they won big. And was it? I guess it would have been maybe December. Maybe it was a Saturday. Maybe I'm getting that mixed up. But, yeah, Detroit came into the Garden December 7th. They won there. And was there one before that? And then the one after that, Detroit came back. I guess it would have been later. Whatever, I can't find it. Either way, I know they won twice. And when you look at some of the elite teams in the NBA, they just did a better job protecting their home turf. So it's not like, well, they had a rough time against the Pistons in the regular season and in this series. It's not like it's just a matchup thing. It's kind of a trend thing for the season, which is very disturbing. The Knicks were 27-14 at the Garden. I mean, how serious can we be about a championship if you're 27-14 at MSG? And by the way, a very bad Eastern Conference. Like, the Wizards are awful. The Hornets stunk. The Sixers are broken. The Nets stink. The Raptors stunk. The Bulls were pretty much garbage. You know, the Hawks started stripping down and trading people. Like, you got to bag more wins than that. And let me get Joe in Harlem. Joe, BT and Sal on the Fan. What up, Joe?
Hey, BT, always a pleasure, sir.
All good, man. So, me too. Thank you.
The point I wanted to make about Brunson, which you made a point the other day, I think I heard you say that. I think in the fourth quarter, Brunson plays too much hero ball. And he tries to take over the game. And yesterday you saw he shot 3-for-13. Yep. So you can't be mad at Cat if Cat's not getting the ball distributed to him.
Uh-huh.
Like, what is Cat supposed to do? The refs are being subjective with their calls.
Uh-huh.
They're not calling Detroit coming off of screens. Detroit's holding on screens, but they're calling ticky-tack fouls. So the game is stopping. Detroit's going to the line. The Knicks are not getting calls. Jalen Brunson is missing shot after shot. And give him credit, he hit the big one. Mm-hmm. But I think the key for this series, and who Knicks fans are not talking about, is Mikal Bridges. If they can get Bridges going with OG and take some of the heat off of Brunson having to start the offense from, you know, possibly near the half court line. If Bridges is a threat and he's a hell of a ball player, then I think the Knicks have a chance. But if Boston minimizes Bridges and minimizes OG, series is over.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Matter of fact, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, I mean, if Bridges and OG can't play well, they might get swept. Now, Bridges, look, I mean, he just looked a little different. His demeanor, his disposition, obviously making plays late. But back to Karl Anthony Towns for a sec. So, I get it. You know, it's kind of like the receiver who's squawking for the football. Like, I can't make plays if you don't throw me the ball. Same with Karl Anthony Towns. But the difference, like the receiver who's just not getting fed the ball enough, yeah, I get he can go block somebody. But it's not like he can do anything else to get himself involved in the play. All right? Karl Anthony Towns, and this is the inconsistency of the Knick offense, and it bothers me, and to me this is a coaching thing, but if you're not getting the ball, go and get some offensive rebounds and insert yourself into, force yourself into the game. You know, just change the way you're, just change everything about the way the game is going. And do you really see him doing that? I don't. I mean, I see a guy who, again, is very skilled, knocked down some bomb threes, 30-footers, but I see a guy who almost, sometimes he thinks he's a point guard, sometimes he thinks he's a two guard. You know, I just don't really see it. And he's got to be more demanding of the ball. Like, it's not like Jalen Brunson won't acquiesce to a team concept. I really think that this is kind of the way it's drawn up. I don't, like, you get the impression, I know he takes a lot of shots, but I don't think he's a chucker. We all know a chucker. We all played with chuckers, and we all know a chucker. I don't think he's a chucker. Very few times do I say, that was a bad shot, dude. I almost never say that. Now, he might front rim it. He might miss it. And there were also not many, I'll give you this, but in the fourth quarter, like, Karl Anthony Towns, a couple of shots that he did take, he just looked soft. There was one he was trying to get, like, to the baseline. He just looked like, ah, man. He just looked like an old man. Just plodding his way. Not explosive. Not mean. Not fast. Let me get Maddie in Monroe. Matt is on the fan. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, BT?
Good, buddy.
So, I'm a big-time Knicks fan. Last night was great win. Boston's going to be tough, but I do have one question for you.
Okay.
Do you think we would have been better off keeping DiVincenzo and Randle with the toughness they have to be out there instead of Cat at this point?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I know that DiVincenzo's always showing up. Nah, he's not going to shoot. You know, he's not going to make shots every night, but I don't think, like, he wouldn't disappear. Randle is tougher on defense, even though he's not a great defensive player. And I know he played very well in this series, but, you know, let's not just gloss over his playoff deficiencies with us. There's a reason why a lot of us, not everybody, but a lot of us were saying, all right, we've kind of hit the limit with this squad. Can't win a championship with Randle. And I said that. And I love Randle. Like, I like Randle more than I like Karl Anthony Towns. I feel him more. It's, I don't know. But from a skill perspective, you had to make the trade. And I don't have the answer for you today. We'll get another answer within the next week and a half or so. We'll see how Karl Anthony Towns plays against a better team. And then, you know, I'll say, you know, when they lose, I'll throw if just, you know, to maintain the good vibe today. If they lose, then we'll reevaluate what they do to kind of retool this summer, which they're going to have to. And then we'll reevaluate them next year. You know, before you know it, the Karl Anthony Towns era as a Knick will be over because he's got a couple of years to go on his deal. And I think that left 4 years from now or three is a player option. He's not going to be here for 6 years, 5 years. We'll have the answer probably, definitely by next playoff. We'll know. Unless they were to trade him. I think at this point, anything could be on the table. But he is just too, like, it's one thing to be inconsistent, but I feel like he's too, I don't know. I want to make sure I say this right. Not that I'm afraid to say anything. It's not that. I want to make sure I really nail this because he is a tricky guy to describe. My biggest gripe with Karl Anthony Towns is that, to me, he is too accepting of a role that too often is diminished. There it is. You got to be more assertive. And that means the window. That means parking your ass in the post and demanding the ball. And I don't see that ever. I see a 7-1-2 guard sometimes, you know? I'm not trying to bury the guy. He obviously has skill and he's good, but that's my biggest complaint. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm on the fan comeback call of the day. I do have a little something on Jazz Chisholm. I'll give you that, and we'll wrap it up. Evan and Tiki coming up next at 2 on a good Nick day on the station.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the fan.
Leading off for the Nick talk from Brooklyn, Omar. Yeah, Omar, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, DT. I always said Michael Jordan is the best player I have ever seen. Because his passion not to lose, the compete level. The best part of Brunson is a compete level. I'm talking about the same picture when he has a towel and they were focusing when they were reviewing it that he might have a hard way play that he was doing and he has a towel and he was still focused. so much focus, so much attention. There is nothing that can derail. On closing on the other floor, he can do it. When he didn't do it in game five, I was tired, but 100% I will take my chances with this guy. He's the best closer. I can say it. He is the best closer in this league right now. This league. Nobody, that's why he's the clutchest player, and nobody is even close to him. He is the best closer that the Knicks have ever seen. He is the best closer in this league right now, and we are getting ready. 3 days rest, Boston Celtics, bring them on. Take the defending champion, we are ready.
You can't start the show better than that. Omar, awesome call, man. Great, great, great job. Yeah, Omar, everybody loves him. He's the best. Good job, buddy. All right, 146 on the Fan. BT and Sal here. Evan and Tiki coming up next at 2. Then back to these calls in a minute. 888-808-1019. Just very quickly on Jazz Chisholm, just to pay off that tease that I had earlier. So I don't know what grade strain it is, but he's got the oblique, which obviously is problematic for a hitter. And I mean, anything, pitcher, hitter, fielder. It's just brutal because you don't know. I mean, you can think it's feeling better, and then in the middle of the night, you stretch or you cough, and it kind of triggers, and it kind of goes back to, you know, what it was. It's like, imagine having a pulled hamstring and just trying to sprint on it, you know, like, no, you got to let it rest and regenerate. So I don't know where this goes with Jazz. Hopefully it's not too long. Not that he's playing well. He has looked as bad as anybody on the Yankees. He is a mess, his approach. But I was thinking about this, and this is, I'll just plant the seed now, and we'll get back to it. So George Lombard, I know a lot of you wanted him to make the team out of spring training. It was never going to happen. It was ridiculous. But understand this. So this is year three of Lombard entering the Yankee system. And the first year, he was in rookie ball and then A ball. And the next year, he started in A ball and then he moved up to high A. This year, he started at high A. He's obviously going to move to double A at some point. And I would think some point soon. So what is it? May 2nd, I guess it is. May 2. I would think, because he's hitting .306 with a .940 OPS and 11 steals at Hudson Valley, the Renegades, not far from Marist. I want to go see him play. I don't think he's going to be there very long. It's not that far. So he's tearing it up. Basically, he looks like a prodigy. I've seen some of the highlights. A couple of his games been. He just looks different. So they're going to bump him up to A fairly soon. I would say by, let's see, 72 at-bats here at high A. I think maybe by the middle of June-ish, you get that. Now, the question is, and I'm not even going to attempt to answer because I don't know the answer, but that's why I say I'm planting a seed. He's crushing it now. Let's say when they move up, and it could be before middle of June, actually. It really might be. Let's say they move him up to double A, and he crushes it. And Jazz is having a brutal season. Not that you're going to bench Jazz, but... Or, you know, the oblique is even worse and he's out forever. You know, you don't have an answer at third base. DJ comes back, he gets hurt again. What else is new? You know, Cabrera's more of a bench guy. I would love to know if there's going to be any internal temptation by the Yankees to maybe give him a little look this year. Like, I know it's very un-Yankee-like. That seems like a rush job here. This kid's a little different. And maybe because he's different, you protect him more. But again, I was just looking at this, like, it's always been, all right, we start you at one level in the first year, rookie ball, and then we move you up to A. Then the next year, we start you where you finished, and then we bump you up again. And then this year, we start you where you finished, show that you can dominate still, which he is, and then we bump you up. So he's obviously going to start climbing the chain fast. And if he continues to look the part, and they need some players, I don't know. You never know. All right, let's get back to it here. Let me get Sham in Princeton. What up, Sham?
Hey, what's happening, BT? Your point on Cat is, that guy just looks old. He looks like he lumbers up the court. There's no aggression, no physicality. He disappears. I 100%, but I don't agree with your take on Randall. And last year, he wrote an article, and I read after, when before his shoulder went down.
Yep.
And he went down on that. They were, that was the most exciting Knick team, and I've watched them for years. I said, this team can take the Celtics because this is premier defense. OG was just phenomenal. That whole Hartenstein is a big loss.
Love them, no doubt.
I would much rather have those guys
They should have put the money in Hartenstein.
No, they couldn't. But anyway, no, they couldn't. But yeah, no, they couldn't.
Why? Why? They got Cat.
No, they, it's not. Cat. It's about no. Sham, I want to get more. It's about the CBA. Just trust me. They couldn't do it. Keep going.
Okay. All right. But that was a huge loss for them because that guy was tipping balls.
I know.
Everything.
I loved him.
He was alive.
I love him. Keep going.
Yes. But what's the CBA? I don't get it. What? Why can't they keep him?
I can't get it. Sham, they just couldn't pay him more than $16 million based on the collective bargaining agreement. That's it. I'm not trying to be rude, but I gotta keep going. Ryan's in Edgewater. Ryan, what's going on, bud?
Hey, BT.
Hey.
Coming from a standpoint of a Sixers fan, I'm watching the Knicks, and the Knicks are going to be the Sixers. And what I mean by
that doesn't sound
is
very encouraging.
Everything... Everything is like cyclical, right? Even in the NFL, it was all about the aerial assault, and now it's building through the trenches. Same with the NBA. It used to all be about the free agents bringing in guys, the big three combos. Now it's about building through the draft. Who are the best teams? Boston drafted Brown and Tatum.
OKC
drafted. Yep, Chet. All those guys.
Cavs.
As a Sixer fan, you keep running guys back in different combinations around one guy who plays hero ball, Embiid, and then insert Jalen Brunson. And it doesn't work. For whatever reason, they're not as good in the playoffs, these players. And Ben Simmons, hence Tobias
Harris. Hold on a second. Let me stop you, Ryan. It's an interesting thought, right? And I'm not even going to say that you're 100% wrong. But the big difference is, and I'm not trying to jinx anybody here, especially my guy and our guy, but Jalen Brunson, I know he tweaks the ankle here and there. I mean, Joel Embiid can't, he's not physically reliable. So if he was, maybe it's different for you guys. Maybe. I mean, I hear you, but I don't. Coco's in Manhattan. Coco. Not ready? Okay, gotcha. What's up, dude?
This is absolutely a great show. Oh, by the way, I don't know what's going on with Sal. I probably miss it, but whatever it is, good luck. We wish him the best.
No doubt. It's a family thing that we spoke about.
And let me
about.
say this, right? Bridges, we own this victory. The guy was great.
He was.
Start to finish.
Uh-huh.
And defensively, offensively, and even when he sat down for those first, second quarters, when he sat him down, when we were leading by 15, they came back. That was due to him being on the bench. And the caller from Georgia, Mr. Optimistic, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I'm optimistic. I think this team will beat the Celtics. And let me say this, BT.
Yeah.
That Bronson jumper, Michael Jordan against Utah.
A little
Bronson
bit. Yeah, I mean,
great.
Well, the difference is that one, the championship versus the Knicks barely getting by the sixth seed. But no, I got you. Yeah, when he pushed off, was Byron Russell pushed off a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it was all net, too. I mean, that Jordan shot just flicks the hand. Oh, it's just perfect. Perfect. Like Jordan. We're lucky to have Brunson. I mean, everybody knows that by now. It really just is amazing. Mark in Oceanside. Take it away, Mark. What do you got?
The astute BT. BT, that was the best small man or guard performance I've seen as a Knick since Clyde took on the Lakers by himself and beat Chamberlain, Baylor, and
Jerry West
single-handedly in the seventh game at the Garden.
Clyde's 6'4", by the way.
That's what I'm saying. This guy is, he's a little, size does not define him.
No.
Physical talent does not define him. This guy's got a 250-pound heart in his chest.
He really does.
He's got, he's fearless. He's talented. He's really talented too.
But his
blood runs ice cold during those key minutes when everybody else in the Knicks it seems to be panicking.
Yeah.
He's cool. And that spin move that he made.
Oh my God. By the baseline where he almost tripped and fell, and it was ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. My back hurt from watching.
Yeah, I know. Have you, Mark, I don't know if you're on social media. Have you ever seen the Jalen Brunson video when his dad's training him when he's about 14 years old? Have you seen
that? No, I have not.
You must. Have a good weekend, but you must go and find this. I know many of you have seen this because basically everybody's on social, but it is, first of all, I remember when I saw it, I'm like, wow. But now when you see him even more as a Knick in these big moments, I think that surfaced last year, maybe before the playoffs, we were started going bonkers. And it's just like his dad's barking at him. Do it again. Not quick enough. Do it again. You know, and like a typical 14-year-old, he's putting his head down. You can tell he's getting pissed. He's got too much respect for his dad to snap on him. But he's like, get to your spot. Get to, you know, like he just, it is just such an amazing look into young Jalen Brunson, literally. And what he, you know, along with his dad and the support staff and what he willed himself into.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.